Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
The Lifestyle Show.
Selena McKenzie.
Animal Talk, presented by Selena McKenzie. This is indeed Animal Talk with me, Selena McKenzie, and our panel of guests who are today Kay Millington.
Hello.
Nasli.
Hello.
Nasli Van Den Kieboom.
Good.
Sophie Fretwell.
Hello.
And Bronya Thompson.
Hello.
We're all animal lovers here. We're going to be talking all things animal. Do join us. If you want to join in the conversation or ask our experts any questions, then do give us a call on 952-784000. You can WhatsApp 645-996795, or you can email studio@tre.radio, and we'll be with you for just under an hour.
Animal Talk,
presented by Selena McKenzie.
We all know what that is. Each break, just so as you know, Sophie and Bronya, each break there's a different animal and we have to guess what animal it is. But I think that one's a bit obvious. Right, welcome back. We are back after not being on for a couple of months due to issues in our studio. I wanted to start off talking about a survey I did on our Animal Talk Facebook page, which is Animal Talk with Selena, if anyone wants to be a member. Should we allow our dogs, we'll start with dogs, but it will include cats later as well, on the bed? Bronya.
Yes, absolutely.
With you there. Sophie.
Definitely.
Natalie as a vet. She knows what she does do, but what she should say.
It's not for everyone. Let's put it that way.
I'm with you on that one, Natalie. It's not for everyone, but I've got to say all my animals are on my bed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It's sometimes difficult to stop them, that's the problem.
Once you start, that's it.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
my bed like stop. I've got.
Yeah. Oh, can't Luna get up?
She can't get up. Oh,
that's the best idea.
Let's I've got get them steps, you know, the steps well. For him to get on the bed.
So you're encouraging it.
Yeah.
You're encouraging it.
Mine are actually just too big. No room left.
Can Harry get on the bed, or do you have to lift him?
No, Harry's fine.
Harry's
fine. It's in the summer. He's on the marble floor.
Yes. Yes. Oh, well, that's fair enough. Yeah.
So it's only in the winter time, really.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can allow it 6 months of the year. We'll allow that. Now, as far as that's concerned, okay, what about cats? If you have a cat, should they be allowed on the kitchen counter?
Mine personally don't go on the kitchen counter. I've never let them be on there.
Can you stop them there?
Well, to be honest, I think it's once they start doing it and you don't correct them, they're going to keep doing it. But honestly, my cats never, ever go on the worktop. Never.
I think that's unhygienic. I know
it is.
People would say the bed is as well. But
you know, in the cat litter and then going on, your worktop
food.
Things, you know, there's a limit.
Yeah.
And I think that, for me, that's it, you know.
Yeah. Mine have never been on there either. Plus, there's always the risk of the hob.
Yeah, can burn himself.
Yeah.
Especially with the induction plates.
Yeah. I know, we've just had an induction hob and oh my god, they get hot so fast. Have you two ever had cats Robin?
Because I know Lewis has to get injured somewhere.
It's in my brain.
I'm allergic.
Oh, so, are you?
But I love them, but just can't stroke them.
Now, why would Sophie be allergic to cats and not dogs? It's a different hair, is it?
It's a different hair, and probably she's allergic to rabbits too.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I
haven't tried
similar
that
hair.
But I have to say, there is a great stuff. It's called Vetromil.
Vetromil,
yeah, which is a lotion.
Amazing.
That you can rub over the cat or the dog or whatever that you're allergic for, and then the allergens are not in the air.
Because it's from
the dander.
The dust.
The dander,
yes.
You can also get
And it really works really well. Yeah, I've had people that wanted to, well, take the dog to AAA. So we'll at least give this a try. And it works fantastically. Okay, you have to keep on doing it, but it does work.
It definitely works. It does. And you can get food as well, which they buy for them.
Obviously with feathers.
The animals.
Feathers. Yeah. So anything like that.
Yeah.
Okay, give it a try.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good one. Rania, have you ever had cats?
No.
No, never?
No.
Not interested?
No, I'm more of a dog person. But in answer to the question, I wouldn't let
you wouldn't. No, I can imagine. The thing is, people generally are, aren't they, dogs or cat people? I mean, I like to think I'm an all-round animal lover, but I'd prefer to have dogs than cats, although I have had cats. Do you find that at the vets, Nasli?
Oh, yes. There are definitely people that are only dog or only cat.
Oh, really?
Yeah? But I do find, though, that those people that have dogs and have always had dogs and don't like cats, they've never had a really nice cat.
Really?
You know, that kind of cat that cuddles with you and responds to you. If you've never had a cat like that, then I can imagine you don't like cats.
But because I think I found that, though, Laz, because I recently stayed with my sister-in-law in England, and she had at one time four cats. Sadly, now she's only got two. But they are so affectionate. I was really shocked because it's the first time I spent a length of time around them. And they're so cuddly and so much fun as well.
Yeah.
You know, just always up to something.
They just come across, I always think they come across as a little bit self-centered, but I think it's just that they're independent. For example, I think a cat would take food and then go, whereas a dog would stay with you. But I could be wrong. I could be entirely wrong about that. Right, we've had a couple of WhatsApps and we've also got a caller in. So let's see who is there. Welcome to Animal Talk. Who's there, please?
Hi, Nina.
Oh, hi, Nina. I think we had this problem on Sunday. You sound like you're in a bucket.
Thank you. I've got a speaking machine, which means I haven't even got the phone on it. I want to ask the vet, number one, do cats have to have learning tablets? Number two, if you haven't bothered to learn your dog, and the last is speaking from both.
Right, Nina, I'm really, really sorry, hon. I'm going to have to cut you off. I think I got the first one. I think he said, can cats have worming tablets? But what I suggest you do, Nina, is either send us an email or a WhatsApp, and I will promise to read it out, but you've definitely got a phone issue. The WhatsApp is 645 99 67 95, and the email address is studio@tre.radio. Nasli, in case that was the question, do cats need worming tablets?
Yes, they do. They do. Okay. All kittens should be dewormed properly, and then dependent a bit of their lifestyle. Yeah, if they're a total indoor cat and don't come in contact with anything that is prey-ish or other cats, then you could go easy on the deworming. But all the cats that are allowed out, definitely deworming minimum twice a year, preferably four times a year.
Okie dokie. We have another caller. You're live on Animal Talk. Who's there, please? Hello? Somebody's called us. Hello, is anybody there?
It's a fish.
We've been pocket dialed.
Okay, we'll cut that one off. I do know that Margaret has sent a WhatsApp. I should just, excuse my squeak, go over here because my eyes aren't that good. Margaret, never thought my cat went on the kitchen tops until a friend took a photo through the window. They always must have heard me coming, so they knew when she arrived and jumped off. That's funny.
Clever.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you. Interesting one. Very interesting one. Right, we need to take an advert break very shortly, but I do want to ask about toads, Kay, because a lot of people still don't realise that toads can be poisonous to dogs.
Yes, that is true. So, actually, I heard about it again last week. A friend of mine, she was out walking and her dog licked a toad, but she didn't know that, obviously, secretes poison, and obviously the dog started foaming at the mouth, and she rushed the dog to the vet. Obviously the dog was okay because she went to the vet. However, I do know of people where it's happened where, you know, the dog's actually died within an hour.
Oh,
so, and have you had cases like that, Nasli, where
you have cases
people
like
need
that
to
too.
Know this, you know?
Yeah, right. And a bit of a problem also is that these toads, they like to move at dusk, early night. Yeah, so it might be that the dog just is allowed to go into the garden, yeah, and
but you can't,
around.
Can't see them, you see.
Yeah, exactly, okay. And then you don't really know what's going on.
I'm just going to take this call and hope we can hear them this time. Hello, are you hearing us? This is Animal Talk. We heard the indicators that pull your car over before you ring us. For goodness sake.
Oh,
So toads are poisonous. So any sort of toad is poisonous. We just need to keep our pets away from them.
The little ones are not so bad, but the bigger ones because of the amount of stuff that they have in, which is actually, it's a basic one. It's not an acidic drug, yeah, but it's a basic one.
Right.
But mainly anything, if the dog comes in salivating or starts salivating profusely, something is going on.
Yeah. And cats too.
Cats are usually not that stupid.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I actually once got sprayed by a toad as well that I tried to rescue that was going to get run over, and I stopped the car to pick it up, like thinking, you know, it's a bit like the princess and the toad or whatever, and I picked it up and it actually sprayed my chest with it, and it was so red, and then I dropped it on the floor, but it was still alive, and then I picked it up again and still took it to the other side of the road, but it was burning my chest.
Yeah,
was like it all red and burning, so
I'd
still do it again though.
I've had it happen to me as well when I was a child. And rubbed my eyes afterwards without thinking, and my eyes literally came out like golf balls.
Oh my goodness.
Well,
who knew?
Yeah.
It's a defence thing though, they don't just do it for nothing.
Like a skunk. Yeah. Right, we've got another caller, let's say we can hear them. Good afternoon. Hello?
Selena, it's Nina. I wonder if you can hear me better now.
Yes, we can hear you perfectly, Nina.
My second question was, a lot of us don't worm our dogs, or a lot of people don't worm our dogs, I do. But is another question for the vet. When we look in the poo, we can see worms. But are there worms in the tummy that we cannot see?
Yes. Yes, what you see, if there are worms, what you would see is the round worms that look like spaghetti, and you can see the tapeworms that look like little rice pieces.
Yes.
But the ones that you cannot see are the hookworms and the whipworms.
Oh. What are the symptoms then of my dog having internal worms that I cannot see? What symptoms should I look for?
Very irritated bowel. Usually a very swollen belly, variable diarrhea or constipation, bad digestion of the food, all those things.
Right.
Yeah, but if you're worried about anything in the poo, the best thing what you could do is just collect a poo sample, as we all have to do anyway every day, and just deliver it to your veterinarian. So either they can have a look themselves under the microscope to look for worm eggs or other parasites, or it can be sent away to the laboratory.
Can she see, or can the laboratory see, if there are worms in the tummy invisible to a human being?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you so much for your advice. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Nina. Thank you for calling. Interesting stuff. They can see through an ultrasound. Is that how they can see it?
An ultrasound?
Yeah, no. Or
no,
a scan?
No, not really. You have to really look in the poo.
Oh, I see. I thought she meant when it's in the tummy.
That will come out with the poo.
Right, okay.
It's got enough poo talk.
Yeah,
moving on.
During lunch.
Right, we do need to take our first break, but I have had an email from Fox who says, "Hello, Duck and the ladies. Just letting you know that all the... Oh, he's got some kittens. All the kittens have been neutered and are doing well. My question is, can a cat have dementia? She is 16 years old.
It's actually called cognitive dysfunction.
Oh, but the same as dementia.
It's the same as dementia. Yeah. It just means that the grey matter wears away. They don't click very well. Probably the eyesight is not so good.
Confusion.
The hearing is not so good. And then they stand somewhere and they're just standing there going like,
They look at the wall often, don't they? They face the wall and
To dogs, my Westies. My Westie had that. Did yours as well? It must be a Westie thing.
Yeah,
very sad.
Yeah, there are some, medications. There are a lot of nutraceuticals that you can give to help that cognitive function.
Hope that helped Fox in Mallorca. Do go to your vet in Mallorca and speak to them as well. Okie dokie, we need to take our first break, but we'll be right back on the other side.
This is Talk Radio Europe.
Animal Talk.
Presented by Selina McKenzie.
Do we have any idea what animal that was?
It was an otter, apparently.
Okay.
Apparently it was an otter. We've had another message from Fox. Let's see. Thank you. You've described her symptoms perfectly. Oh, bless her. Bless her. Okay, that was the cat with cognitive... Dysfunction.
Okay. Now, if anybody else wants to join in with our conversation or ask our vet or our cat expert any questions, here's how to get in touch.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
Now, I would just like to mention that AAA are having a Valentine's Day event. It's happening, obviously, next Tuesday, the 14th. They invite you to a special Valentine's dinner at the beautiful Bobanus restaurant. It's a three-course dinner with live entertainment, and all the profits go to support the 500 animals of AAA Animal Shelter. You can either WhatsApp or call for a booking on 666 162 999 or 622 910 214, or you can email events@AAAMarbella.org. We have a caller. Good afternoon. Who's there, please?
Hi, Selina. I was driving and my hands-free somehow's not working, so I've just got in. Are you still talking about dogs and cats?
Yes, we are, yes.
Okay, so the way I heard it described is, if you've got a dog, it thinks you're part of the pack, and they might either be subservient or whatever, but you're in the pack. You know, they think you're a dog. A cat, however, thinks that you're a servant.
That's true.
Oh, I see. I've got you.
Cats have staff.
I like that one.
I say that as a cat person. You're a very spoiled cat.
Oh, I was going to say, Kay won't like that.
My place.
Oh. And what's your name, please?
Teresa,
thank you. I like that.
Thank you, Teresa.
Very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
I was thinking we're not talking about servants.
Yeah, where's that one going?
Right, back onto AAA. We also have our AAA dog of the week this week. We have Tiger, who's 3 years old, a very handsome brown and black mixed breed dog with Presa Canario and maybe Alano in him. He's 59 centimetres tall. He's friendly but very strong. He's good with people. He does pull on the lead, though, but that can be worked on. He was brought to AAA a short while ago, having been found at the Costa del Sol Hospital, and it would be great if somebody could adopt him. If you want to see him in action, go to AAAMarbella.org and put in his reference number 29213. Talking of AAA, Kay, you've got a new job.
Yes.
You've got a cat house at
AAA. Yes, I have.
Your own cat house.
So I'm in my element now. So finally, after working with cats for 9 years here, just independently, I'm actually now with AAA, part of the team in the cat house, which is absolutely fantastic. It's my dream job. So all day spent with the cats, looking after them, cleaning up after them, obviously being their servant. We've got some amazing cats for adoption. I can't believe some of them haven't been adopted already. There's absolutely some amazing cats there. And I'd always say to everyone, if you'd like to adopt a cat, please get in touch with us, because we will have a cat for you. I will match you up with a cat.
How many have you got?
At the moment, we've around 225
cats. Well, we can do a cat of the week as well.
That'd be amazing. If we could do a cat of the week, I would absolutely love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a problem at all.
That's a good idea.
That is a really good idea. You're adopting one from me this week, remember?
She
got herself into a pickle now, and she's not getting out without two cats. Don't worry about that. I won't let you forget that one.
Oh, bless you. So are you still doing Rescue Paws Spain?
So I'm still doing Rescue Paws Spain, but obviously with AAA, it's on a much wider scale, more cats.
Yeah.
But it's going amazingly well. We've got some new volunteers. Everyone that works there, we all get on so well. It's just a great team, and and I just absolutely love being there. It's love being part of the team and helping all these lovely animals get homes. It's amazing.
Kay, I'm not, she won't be able to do it so much now as she used to, but anytime if you found a dog or a cat in the road or an injured seagull or anything, you just have to
I'm still going to do it anyway, don't worry.
She just collects animals.
Just collects, yeah, you need my number.
I'll give you the details. Yeah. I'll give you the details. Yeah. She does a great job. Well done. Well
Thank
done.
You.
We like AAA. Right, we've had another message. Sal, she said, "Hey up, lass. Please would you ask Nasli to explain the use of Petromil again on air, as my neighbour Juan is sometimes allergic to his own dogs. Greetings to all, Sal."
Okay, it's Petromil. Starts with a V.
A V. Vetromil. Vetromil.
Yeah, so it's a lotion. And what you do is either with a face cloth or with some other cloth, you just rub it over the animal. Yeah, mainly the areas that you're in contact with, so around the face, the paws, over the body, and then the allergens that are in the dandruff, is that how you call it?
Yeah.
In the epithelial cells, yeah, they don't float around the dog in the air or cat.
I wonder if that's where the word dander came from then. Dander and dandruff. Yeah, similar thing, isn't it?
No, could be.
It's probably dander. The same thing, more or less, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's English.
Or maybe I just made it up. I don't know.
No, you didn't. I've heard of dander as well. Okay. Yeah. So thank you, Sal. Hope you heard that and you can pass that on to your neighbour. Just a little bit more on, we talked about the toads. Are the caterpillars out yet? These horrible processionary caterpillars?
Yes, March. March, I think, isn't
it? They are out already, though, some
of them. No. Up to now, they're still high. So they're high up the Ronda Road, around, I think, Casares. People have seen them. I've seen. Yeah, but down here?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
But they have been, you know, the areas that you said, because I've seen quite a few pictures of them.
So for anybody that doesn't know, and I'm sure everybody does, particularly if you're letting your dogs off a lead anywhere, they are literally a procession of caterpillars, aren't they? They're called processionary caterpillars, and they can kill a dog straight away.
And cat.
I was going to say, presumably any animal.
Any animal, really.
Yeah, so stay away from them. Do see if you see them in your garden, maybe not till March, but do stay away from them.
They're not good with humans either, are they?
No.
I don't know that.
No, they're very dangerous.
Robin said that he, somebody who he talks to on the dog walk and last year, and she come into contact with them, and the face
for everyone, really,
she'd been burnt with acid.
Yes.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. Wow. And the thing is, those caterpillars have like little hair on them, and it has like a little hooky thing at the end. So if you get in contact, it's actually those hair that go in contact, and if you then rub it, you actually rub them into your skin, which makes the reaction even worse. If you want to do anything, flush it off with water.
And don't stand on them.
Don't rub it
as well, because actually standing on them makes the hairs come out when you do it, which obviously it's really cruel anyway, but I'm saying don't do it, because it actually makes it worse, and you can carry the hairs on your shoes underneath. You can't see it, and it's still really, really dangerous to animals and people.
Yeah, or what people do, they see them and then they think, I'll get a recogedor, what's that called in English?
A
broom.
Yeah,
and
don't
then
do it.
Well, as soon as you do that, those hairs are all over the place.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And go into the air.
If your dog eats one, what's the best thing to do?
Flush the mouth with water immediately. If you can, lukewarm water, but flushing is the most important thing. Whether it's the hose, your shower, you're next to the sea, wherever you are, flush it with water.
Okay.
Then if you can flush it out that way, then you're 90% done.
Okay.
Yeah, and then take it to the vet.
Yeah. It's frightening, isn't it? It really is. Talking about dogs and not nice things, I want to just bring Sophie in here, because I wanted to talk about dog attacks, and I know you had a really, really bad experience a couple of years ago. Can you just tell us your story? And I wanted to ask Nasli if there's anything people should be doing.
Well, I took my dog for his daily walk just around our urbanisation, and three huge dogs came towards me, and I thought the owner was behind them.
Loose.
They were loose. One was an Alsatian, and the other two were similar size, but a mixed breed. And they were obviously a pack, and I was in their territory. Mm-hmm. And they attacked my dog and were ripping him apart, and then attacked me because I was protecting my dog.
Of course you were.
So it's pretty horrific, actually.
Okay. What happened to your dog?
Well, luckily he survived, but only just. The vet said, had he been, because they attacked him like as if they were a pack of hyenas.
Yeah.
So they bit all around his bottom.
Okay, and not?
Not so much here, but all around the back. But luckily they managed to, my vet helped him. But as I went down to pick him up, they bit my arm and bit all around the top of my legs.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
But that means you had to go to hospital?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
And that means the dogs have been reported?
Well, I reported them to the police, but I never got any further. But the man did get rid of two of the dogs.
Okay.
Well, why... Are these? Is it because they're hunting dogs? Why do these people let these dogs off the lead? Do they not know that they're going to be like that? I don't get it.
I don't get that. He was lazy, to be honest. So I don't think he wanted to walk them, so he just let them out.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's just awful. And it is always with more dogs that pack working. Yeah. Is if one goes or one thinks that the other one is being threatened for anything, then they just
all go.
Literally pack it up and they all go. Mm. And then it's a small dog towards bigger dogs, which is so unfair.
And then they came towards me, their hackles were up. The three, stalking.
Oh, how scary.
Yeah. Frightening.
I think you can still feel that moment. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
But usually, I mean, we used to have three dogs, we've got two now, and albeit they were small, but if we let them out and let them run off, if they saw another dog they'd go up to it and be inquisitive, but they'd never try and attack another dog.
And they're properly socialised. Right. They've got manners, they've never been attacked in their life themselves before. It's usually those dogs that people just open the door or go to a field, let them run around a little bit, not really socialised. One with a bad
just
temperament.
An accident waiting to happen.
Yeah.
But can I just remind us that obviously you're not really meant to walk your dogs off the lead anyway.
Yeah.
Like a full stop. Like I know this is a ongoing debate, but just in general, dogs should not be off the lead because this is what things like this can happen, you know, and not also they can damage wildlife, hurt wildlife. You know, it's quite big in England, I know, with the sheep and things like that, where people shouldn't let the dogs roam. Everyone does, but if you really can't trust your dog, then, you know, you shouldn't have been having them off the lead, so it's very, very bad.
They should have been muzzled as well. Because
terrible. Yes.
If you do think your dog is at risk, then definitely, or at risk, is a risk to someone else, just put on a muzzle on. And one thing that I've remembered from David the Dogman very well is off-lead work is an advanced exercise.
Yeah.
If you cannot guarantee that your dog comes back instantly,
then don't do it.
Then you can't do it.
True.
Amazed though sometimes that when something happens, you know, if a dog does sort of go towards another dog in an aggressive way, that a lot of the owners won't take responsibility.
No.
And they start getting really defensive if you sort of say, look, you know, can you control your dog? Can you put it onto a lead? And it's just like, why should I?
Was he apologetic after he saw you were attacked and Javi was attacked?
He was, and he said it hadn't happened before, but it had happened twice before. We found out later. So I think that he just let his dogs out, and where I was walking was probably became their territory.
Yeah,
so that's why they're protecting it.
And obviously, let's remember they are wild animals. At the end of the day, they don't have the same logical thinking as us or anything like us. So obviously, when they've gone to do that, it's his responsibility to handle his animals. Mm. And it is such a shame that happened and a terrible experience. Mm. But I'm sorry also for all these dogs that end up, you know, getting put to sleep, getting given away.
Yeah.
You know, people getting rid of them when really, if the owner had been responsible in the first place, then you know it is the fault of the owner.
Yeah, you're right. We need to hear some more words from our sponsors, but we'll be right back with more animal talk.
Talk Radio. Sorry.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selina McKenzie.
Any takers?
Not sure what that is.
I only know because it's in front of me. That was a platypus duck, apparently. Hey, up me duck. Platypus duck.
A duck.
No, a duck.
A duck.
Yes, a platypus duck it was. Okie dokie, if you want to join in or ask any questions, here's how to get in touch.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a or WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
I want to come back to Kay now because I want to chat about people releasing exotic pets into the wild.
Yeah, it's happening a lot. It always has happened a lot. But quite recently, I do get quite a lot of calls about exotic pets. And, like, one of the main ones is people releasing the, you know, the terrapins that everyone seems to have as pets here. The yellow bella slides and...
And their plastic bowl with the little palm tree.
Yeah. And, like, a lot of people, they find them abandoned. And you see it on Facebook and I'm always getting tagged. And then someone will comment and say, there's a lake down here, you need to go put it back into the lake. And the one thing that I would like to say, first of all, it's illegal to do that. So they're an invasive species. I mean, I love all animals, but you have to be careful, you know, mixing in species that are not from here with our ones that are from here. So what would happen if you do release them into the lake? They actually steal a lot of the food source of our native ones, and they can have problems between them. So I would always say that if you do find a turtle or a terrapin, to find out what it is first before you do anything, before you release it.
Brilliant. Just want to take this caller. Good afternoon. Who's there, please?
Hello, Selena.
Yeah.
My name's Jan from Mallorca.
Hi, Jan.
I wanted to ask there, my friend has just found a little kitten and then it's grown to 6 months and then it fell off a great big high balcony and she's had to be operated.
Oh.
But what she's concerned about, in his tray, he's a little black, 6 months old now, in his tray he'll pee but he poops on the floor. And she's bought three trays and moved them all around and he's still busy. And she's asked everyone, everyone. Is it because he's come from the camper?
So you're saying that she won't use the litter tray?
She'll pee in there.
Yeah. You need to get another litter tray.
She's on the floor.
I can answer this one for you.
Leslie's just coughing.
Okay. So I would always recommend that you actually have two litter trays. Because
she
some,
did.
One,
she's
but
got
in
to.
Different areas of the house, maybe not near each other. It's just some cats prefer to go in one and another, but actually don't have them too close to each other. Like, have one in the bathroom, for example, and then maybe one in another bathroom.
I'll tell her.
And also...
Because she's got a dog as well.
It could be a behaviour problem. Like, it does sound like it can be. Animals do not do that unless they're trying to tell you something. So for whatever reason it is, something's making him unhappy and you need
to... Do you think it's because he's indoors?
I don't think it's just because he's indoors, because animals, you know, cats can live happily indoors if they've got a lot of mental stimulation. So obviously there's a lot of reasons it could be, and I can't go into them all now, but I definitely get an extra litter tray or even an extra so you've got three around the house and see if it improves. But he's definitely unhappy about something and trying to tell her something.
Do you think he doesn't like living indoors because he's from the campo?
I don't think that. No, I think cats are very adaptable, to be honest, so I wouldn't worry about that. But there could be behavioural problems behind there. There could be health problems behind there. There could be many things. If she wants to contact me privately on my Facebook page, Rescue Paws Spain, I can chat with her about it then.
What's your Facebook?
Rescued Paws Spain.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay,
right,
and I can help with that. Okay,
all right, Jan, thank you. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Are you all right, Natalie?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
Right, so we're still talking about these exotic pets. So you mentioned meerkats as well.
Yeah, I actually had a call last week. I couldn't quite believe my eyes. Someone had obviously abandoned two meerkats, and then there was a baby meerkat. They could have been more, the ones that I could see. So there was three meerkats. And when people walk in the dogs, they were just running up to them, like, you know, very sociable. And I think what's happening is people are buying exotic pets because they see these videos on the YouTube and the TikTok and things like that, but they don't really know how to look after them, and they don't realise that, you know, these kind of animals, like meerkats for example, they are pack animals. I wouldn't recommend them as pets. I do have a friend that has got a rescued one, but it's not something that I would recommend. But it's happening too often now where people are buying them, and they're actually very expensive, and they'll buy one on its own and then they're not used to being on their own. They need to be in a pack. So it is very sad, and I don't agree with it on that scale at all. But what they're doing is, when they realise that, obviously they smell, they can smell, and they're not really very clean smell. Sometimes, and okay. things like that, and they can destroy, they can, you know, chew things, and then people don't want them, and they just release them into the wild. So that it's really wrong, and it's happening all the time. The same with birds as well. People are releasing exotic birds into the wild here, and it is causing havoc on the ecosystem.
It's probably the meerkats, probably down to the adverts. You've seen the adverts on the meerkats. Yeah. They make them look all cute and fluffy.
So
and
cute.
It's a good advert, but that's probably why.
A little waistcoat on.
Yeah, they're so cute. But you can imagine people thinking, oh, I want a meerkat. Yeah. You know, that's animation. That's exactly. not necessarily real life. I've got one for Jan. We're sadly running out of time, but I've got one for Jan, who's just called us from Mallorca, which we probably ought to have mentioned, I ought to have mentioned back then. But apparently electronic litter trays are a life changer for you.
Absolutely amazing. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Sorry.
Apart from Jackson Galaxy and my husband. The electric litter tray is just amazing.
God bless
her. She also doesn't get out much.
Don't get out much. When you have a cat or multiple cats, you need to have one litter tray per cat plus one. So if you have four cats, you need five litter trays. Okay, so that's a lot of cleaning out. A couple of years ago, they started to bring out electronic litter trays that clean themselves out. They are expensive, but they are a very good investment. And the litter and stuff can be more expensive, but of course your animals are much happier, cats are much happier, because they have a laser inside, so when they've been it instantly cleans them out. So
you only need one for
all
these
cats. Oh, now, I've got to say, it costs me €20-ish a week in litter, but to not have to come home from work and be cleaning, and it just does it itself, and then every week you just take the tray out, throw the whole tray, which is like recyclable, you empty the litter and put it's like a cardboard, you know, that's covered with like plastic, not plastic, but so it doesn't go through, throw it in the bin, slide another one in, and that's it, you're done for another week.
Where
and
do you it get can them be a month.
So I've got the pet safe one, which is a quite reasonable one. You can get them, they can go up to €800 to €1,000. But again, it sounds like a lot of money. But if you're a busy person and you're in and out and you want your animals to be happy and they don't like dirty litter trays, then it's absolutely brilliant. They start from about 150, and obviously they can go up to about 700-800. But they are a brilliant investment, and I would recommend them to anyone. It takes time for the cats to get used to it, so you have to keep the normal litter trays, and then eventually you just gradually take the litter trays away, and you can have the electronic ones, so you can have up to four cats with one electronic one.
Maybe so you can put that on our animal talk
I'll
page.
Definitely put a link there, because it is really, really good, and it's very hygienic, and your house doesn't smell, so it is really good.
Great idea. Okie dokie. I've got one more advert break. Okay, another email, sorry, WhatsApp from Keith in Benidorm. He wants to know, is it wrong to pat dogs on the head?
Yes.
Yes.
You see, I've heard that. I've heard that. I think it's okay to your own dog stroke it.
Exactly. Just think of the fact the dogs, well, most dogs, have a very long nose. Yeah? That's all sinuses in that nose. It's hollow. There are sinuses under the eyes and above the eyes. So if you start tapping on there, it kind of all resonates in there.
It can irritate them, and that's why they can sometimes...
Stroke them.
I wonder where that came from. Why did we start doing that?
Good dog.
But also, the best thing...
I don't think I'd be happy kept patting me on.
If you want to do it, then you go for underneath. If you just, like, same with cats as well, if you go for underneath the chin like that, but obviously don't go patting or doing whatever to someone else's dog without asking them first, because you don't know whether they like it or not. Yeah.
That is very
very careful.
Very, very good advice.
I wouldn't even pat a kid on the head.
No, it makes me laugh when somebody's pregnant and people touch the stomach and go, and it's like, this is
hello.
It happens, you see it
happens all
the
time.
It's my body you're touching. You wouldn't touch it if there wasn't a baby in there, would you?
I don't know. It's called harassment, but you know.
Okay, we do need to take one more. No, let's carry on for a bit, and then we'll do that towards the end. We've got 12 minutes left. I pinched a couple of things, Nasli, from your Facebook page. I did, because I thought they were really interesting, and one of them was a recent one, and it's about the microchip.
Yes.
You take your dog abroad, and you don't think that the microchip is not registered in another country.
Absolutely true.
Yeah,
and that is
crazy.
Okay, but the biggest problem is that there is no central database.
Yeah.
Yeah? If, say, for instance, only Europe would have a central database, that would be fine. Now, they've got something that's called EuroPetNet, and all the databases everywhere should be connected to that network, yeah?
Primer.
They're not really. Or they won't give out any details from a database in Denmark, mm-hmm. yeah, because it's not office hours, or things like that. And then you have to ask, the vet has to ask for it. And
yeah, so it is
sometimes very complicated. Mm. You find the cutest little white fluffy dog with a microchip, and it's not registered in the Raya, the Andalusian, yeah. And then they kind of sit there, and everybody waits and thinks, well, there must be an owner. Someone will come in for it, and you think your dog is microchipped, registered, they should be able to find you. Now, that's what we wanted to get out.
It's really important.
So how do you then go about having...
You just re-register the microchip to where you are.
You need an NIE number.
Which,
and there are quite a lot of people here that spend their 3 months now because of Brexit.
Right.
They won't get an E-number.
Oh, that's difficult. Now, this is a big problem.
So they can't register. So the advice at the end was, then at least put a tag with a phone number and the name of your dog on.
It's happening all the time. And normally everyone just rings me to do the investigations, because I love doing it. I love going into the different systems and trying to find out where they come from. It's something that I enjoy doing, like investigating. But it can take hours, days sometimes for me to find out, especially if it's outside of Europe.
Yeah.
And who's going to have time to sit and do that, apart from this nutcase here, you know, Inspector Gadget. But, you know, it is really something that everyone needs to realise.
Very, very good. To take my dog back to England.
Yes.
And you get to the Euro tunnel, they take the passport and they do a chip.
They check if the chip number is the same as on the passport to make sure it's your dog. You go to England, we're not going to use your details, are not going to come.
They verify that the dog that you're going with
matches.
And the passport matches
that's it.
With that microchip number, but it doesn't say who that dog belongs to.
You can read the chip number.
You can travel
number.
With someone else's dog.
Chip, really, is there? Really?
No, it is, because the registration
is your country, isn't it?
In your country, yes. If you travel a lot, it's...
For instance, if you would come from the UK and you would register your dog here, because those that have an E number do want to, because they want a Spanish passport.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they can travel without this super expensive certificate that they need to get. But it's... In the passport, it says the owner. Yeah, and we need some proof of ownership. If you don't have the registration from the UK, then in the passport, if it says Betty Boo, then Betty Boo is the owner, because we have to send that to Raya. But what a lot of people, and especially Dutch people do, if it's a couple, they will both fill their name in there. But you can only register your dog to one person, which is the last one of the two.
Oh, not the first one.
Mm-hmm. And not the first one. Yeah, because if you change ownership, you'll be the next one.
It's a disaster, really, isn't it?
And the hassle with Raya to say, listen, nay, this is two people in one household. Yeah? With the same address. Just put it on the one that it is registered to. It is so annoying.
It's a mind.
So the moral of the story is, please have a collar with your telephone number on it.
That's probably the best advice.
Yeah,
definitely. And the second one I pinched from your website, Nasli, was about vitamins for cats. Vita oral gel for cats. Sounds good.
Yes.
That's an oral gel, obviously.
Exactly, it's just extra things. Sometimes I need extra things, those that don't eat very well or those that are in recovery. The older ones, sometimes with kittens that have had bad start in life.
Nutrigel as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's very good.
want to just finish off with a story that I read in the First Hour, actually, and I don't know if you've heard it, about a 30-year-old Portuguese dog who's now the oldest dog in the whole wide world.
Yes, his name's Bobby. I saw that.
His name's Bobby. Apparently, now this is Portuguese. When I read it out, I said he's a purebred Rafiero do Alentejo. But in Portugal, it's, they say je, don't they? So Alentejo.
Alentejo. Where the wine comes from.
At least you know that. Right, let's take our final advert break and then we have to say our farewells.
Talk Radio Europe.
The Lifestyle Show.
It's a cow.
No.
Presented
by Selena McKenzie. My husband.
How did you know? It was an alpaca, apparently. So I just want to say a big thank you to Kay Millington. Give yourself a round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Triple A Marbella and Rescue Paws Spain. To Nazli, how can people get in touch with you?
Either through Facebook, Point of Veterinary Clinic Estepona, or on 95 280 4165.
Wonderful. To Sophie, give yourself a round of applause. And Brian,
thank you.
Thank you to you all. We will be back with more animal talk next month. I'll be back tomorrow. It's our culinary corner day today, so we're going to be making chocolate chip magic cookie bars with Eloise Head, aka the Fit Waffle.
I'm missing different kinds of magic.
It's all ladies tomorrow because it is International Women's Day. I'll also be chatting to Mary Maguire about the inclusion and the culture that celebrates diversity. And at 3:30, I'll be chatting to Nikki Oden. Her book is called But Definitely Wear Mascara: Hacks to Help You Love Your Mum Life a Little More. As always, we're playing out with an animal-related song. This is The Boy Who Cried Wolf with the Style Council. Thank you for your company, and I'll be back with you tomorrow, 2 till 4, for more.
As the rain comes down upon the sad sweet earth, I lie awake at night and think about me. All those usual things, like what a fool I've been. I can see a far way that I let you slip away. As far as new love is now cooling down, with only myself to blame for playing the stupid game. I thought I'd only call and you would run, but that day never showed on it. Well, I shall learn that as soon as I need you more each day, heaven knows why that day goes that way. And now it's far too late, and I've lost this time. Like a boy who cried wolf, like a boy who cried upon my selfish soul. I sit alone and wonder, where did I go wrong? It always worked before. You kept the wolf from my door, but one day you never showed, honey. Well, now I'm not so sure. But it seems I need you more each day. Heaven knows why that day goes that way. Now it's far too late, this time. Like a boy who cried wolf, like a boy who cried wolf, like a boy.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.